Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw, and today, on the Startup Chat, we're actually going to talk about one of the most boring topics out there. And that topic is email.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit! We got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
We're not talking about the Gmail you use and the emails coming in your inbox, although we kind of are. We're talking about the emails that you actually send.
Yeah.
And this is like whatever you would call a newsletter. We've talked about this thing in the past about the value of them and things like that. Today's episode, we actually want to double down, dig in deeper, and talk more about kind of where are we at right now, you know, and answer the stupid question, which is, does email still work? Which I think we've answered before, but I wanted to start lightweight. Yes, email does work. Yes, if you are a business of any kind, you should be emailing people.
Boom. And then I will double click on one of my favorite all-time Heaton Shaw quotes on the topic of email, which was the days. So good email, like people say email is dead and all that crap. Good email might be in trouble. Great email is more, you know, more well and alive today than ever before. If you write great email, you're going to be crushing it for your business.
And good email is dead.
There
great
you go.
Email is more alive than ever.
Boom.
Just to paraphrase a little differently, I don't remember how I said it. Thank you for that reminder. I almost forgot I said that. So I don't think we talked about what great email is, did we?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, okay. So like, well, one, great email is using a great email tool. Let's just start there. And
right.
I know there are a lot of them out there, and we don't really, you know, necessarily promote one or another, but I am going to speak about it for a few seconds. So there are tools like MailChimp. MailChimp is actually a very good tool. I do use it. They are not paying me to say that because I use it and I love it for my email newsletter. I also use SendGrid at my companies because we need to do transactional email that are more programmatic, and MailChimp's features around that are less mature, at least in my experience, than SendGrid. So when an engineering team needs to mess with email or a product team, we tend to use SendGrid and make it more programmatic if you need to program it around it and things like that. That being said, SendGrid's campaign management tools are nowhere near MailChimp's. And then we have a lot of the advanced category, such as Campaign Monitor, which is a little more advanced in some areas, or Infusionsoft, which lets you do a bunch of drip campaigns and things like that. I kind of wanted to get the tools out of the way, Stelly, because
yeah.
I think it's important because we have a lot more to say on this. And then another kind of new set of tools would be tools like Drift and Intercom, which are chat plus email. And they let you do chat and email. And the folks at Drift have actually started to connect the two in really powerful ways. The folks at Intercom kind of started that trend by saying your emails and your chats sit in one place. And now even Zendesk has a lot of emailing, not for marketing purposes, but for chat and email. They kind of try to combine that from a support standpoint. And then, of course, there's Front. Front allows you to have a shared inbox and lets you take one email address like press@yourdomain.com and share that all those emails and manage them across multiple people. So the category is huge. There's a lot of email tools. I just spit out a bunch of use cases and a bunch of different tools.
Hot fire.
Got that out of the way. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. I just said hot fire. You're just like on a roll.
Heck yeah. I'm looking at an encyclopedia for some of these tools, man.
Yeah.
But I probably used all of them or have some kind of visibility into like how people are using these tools. And I think email tools are amazing, and it's one of the tried and true software. So on that note, I have to mention one more. Is that okay?
Yeah, go.
MixMax. I think MixMax is one of the most powerful email tools out there today. The reason is it's a Chrome extension and not as long as you connect with, your Google account, and you can send email and do lots of fancy things like put a presentation right in the email, or set up fancy drip campaigns, or send bulk email through Gmail. And all you need is your Gmail and MixMax, and you're off to the races. They also, one of my favorite things, as we've talked about in previous episodes, they're a freemium business. They have a very generous free plan, and I'm a huge fan of that product as well. Again, none of these have paid me to say this, and I just got to spit it out because these are all great products. And one of the biggest questions, Steli, about most of these categories that we talk about when it comes to like software and tactics is what tool should I use, Heaton? What tool should I use, Steli? So you know what? We got that shit out of the way.
There you go. Boom. Check mark behind it. So the focus here is obviously not on one-on-one email, although a lot of principles that we're going to discuss are universal, as we usually like to do. But this is about company email, one-to-many typically, right? Back in the day, the kind of prototypical golden standard of one-to-many corporate email or B2B email was the newsletter, quote-unquote, right? The generic email that a company would send to all their customers, all the contacts that they had in the contact database, informing them about all the great news there is, you know, industry news, company news, any kind of news that might be interesting to the recipients. Today, I do see that the traditional newsletter dying off. I mean, we still call that one-to-many thing, typically we call it a newsletter in the B2B context, but it's not a newsletter in the traditional sense, right? You have a newsletter, but it's not really a newsletter. It's not like a beautifully formatted HTML email with lots of news in there, right? It's typically a very in-depth, detailed story or strategy or learning that you share with people that have given you their email because they want to learn more about product and product development. That's the newsletter that you have on product habits. It's called newsletter because it's an email list, right? And they're all receiving the same email at the same time. But it's not really that outdated format of just having like eight different stories or news items or things in there. It is something very different and more modern and more focused for creating value for the recipient. You have an email at times where you share different top articles that you find, right? There's like all these kind of articles that you read. You read a shit ton, and you're one of the best curators of content on the web and alive today. And so you curate an insane amount of content down to the best pieces of content that people could find in the B2B space usually and set it up. But then again, it's not really a newsletter in the traditional sense. And I want to talk about like that the one-to-many email that really moves the needle today and that really crushes it for businesses, for brands. Delivers value to the recipient, but also delivers or creates a ton of value for the sender. Doesn't matter who that is. So what are we seeing today that is really great? I don't know, great newsletters or great one-to-many emails. I don't know how to call this anymore, but we'll just use newsletters. It's a commonly used and understood term. What's presently a way to do this in a great way, not just send out these bullshit outdated corporate newsletters, which I see less and less. And we still did. We made that cardinal sin until, I think, 9 months ago. We were sending these monthly generic emails, which I am ashamed for. But we've changed our format drastically. And I want to talk about that with you. What you see, what working, what you do, what we do, and hopefully people can learn from that and utilize that.
You know, like, I get so many questions about email now from... It's funny. I get questions about email from people who are paying attention, and people who aren't, I don't get any questions from them. And I think that's the first step, which is like, I don't think you can write great email without being able to criticize other people's emails.
Mm.
So the first step I would use is start asking people what their favorite email newsletters are and sign up for them and try to just understand what those people are doing. I will say what patterns I've noticed, you know, and why. I write the way I do on email, and have spent a lot of time, especially in the last couple of years, learning how to do that myself. But the biggest thing is like in your category, even if it's not a great email, sign up for those too. So first thing is sign up for email lists that people say are great. Cause that's like word of mouth, right? So yeah. I think that's great. Second, sign up for emails in your category, in your space about your topic. And I do that all the time, continuously. And I sign up for so many. I even have a separate Gmail account where I sign up for them. And I always get a ton of value by just looking at how other people are writing it. And also, honestly, being hypercritical of those emails. And I have even friends that I'll email and say, you know, hey, this was a real shitty email. Here's why. If I know they're in the category and someone's written an email in their category. Or I'll say, hey, this was a great email. So I think you can even, if you want to go further, you can even create a group with people that value sending email, you know, for whatever reason, and kind of do that back and forth. It's really powerful to get other people's perspectives and their viewpoint on how an email made them feel. And I know I almost sound ridiculous, right? Because this is a lot of depth on email. But if you want to write great email, you have to be able to criticize email and other people's emails. And it's one of the skills that, like, I don't see many people going after and getting better at. Emailing as well as just being able to criticize. The reason I say that is the majority of writing is about editing, not about creating.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why they say just write. Yeah, I agree. Just fucking write, you know, and then start editing, you know, and spend more of your time editing. You can't do that unless you read some. You know what? The way to get better at editing is by reading all the writing out there and being able to critique it. And yeah, be an asshole. Like, talk about, like, the stuff you didn't like about it. Like, really internalize what a great email feels like. And so that's my biggest sort of perspective on email. The biggest tip I would give people is learn how to tell a great story. Great story. And what I mean by great story is a story that's compelling to other people. And if you just do that and get good at that by email, you will do more than what most people are able to do when they write an email. They can't tell a story. If you look at all the great people that are writing great emails today, storytelling is the number one reason their emails are great. That's it. Like, that's what I got. I'm great.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. I mean, I agree with you so much that I try to disagree with you at times, but I could not think of a single example. No, I could not think of a single example of the type of people. I can't count the people or the companies in one hand. I don't know if I would get, you know, I don't know if it's six or seven, but it's definitely not 10. So in less than two hands, I could count on, like, how many companies are sending great emails. And through those, I was parsing through my head, are any